Hello, and welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. I'm your podcast host and producer, Katie Coffrin, and I'm here with you on your journey to finding your kind of minimalism. Head to my website, katiecoffrin.com, to keep up on all things How to Be a Minimalist, including the book series, YouTube channel, articles, and podcast. There, you can also check out my Broden and Cookie chapter book series, my Clean and Quirky romance series, and learn when my other books are going to launch. And you can also grab several of my books for free. If you want day-to-day updates, follow me at How to Be a Minimalist on Instagram. Lastly, liking, subscribing, reviewing, and sharing are all beautiful and very much appreciated ways to show your support for this show. You can also become a patron for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/KatieCoffrin. And now it's time for the show. Episode number 7, Lessons and Accomplishments of 2019. So for my personal update, big changes are coming. We are kind of at the end of our caregiving in the way that we've been doing it. The kids and I spent a lot of time with our loved one and kind of taking care of a lot of different things this year. So that is coming to a close, which is a big change. I feel like I'm going to need a breather and our whole little family's going to just need some time to adjust and get back to things. I don't know. When you go through something big, can you ever really go back to normal? I don't think there is a normal after that. I think you are a morphed human being, and I think my husband and children and I are different now. And so we're going to find a new and beautiful norm, and it's going to be good. So that is happening within the next couple of days. It has been really nice to spend a lot of time with family, so I don't have a really big personal update other than, you know, you will probably be seeing a lot more of us in our actual motorhome. Most of the videos have been in my granny's house, so thanks, Granny. Anyway, so there are going to be some different things like that that will be affecting what you hear about and see on the YouTube channel, which is How to Be a Minimalist. But more on a personal note, I have been doing a lot of reflecting, which brings us to the something interesting I have. I wanted to highlight one of the books that I read this year for my 20 books that I read for fun, and it was The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I'd been wanting to read this for a long time, and I remember one day I was looking for a book to read, and I saw that it was included in Amazon Prime Reading or something like that, and so I went ahead and downloaded it, and so I read about 30% of it, and then I kind of let it go, and then I would just kind of read it every once in a while, and it is a really great book. He says that basically no one really is a morning person until they want to be one and try to be one and practice being one. That's kind of my take on that. But basically, you need to get up earlier and practice what he calls life savers. The savers stands for silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing or journaling. I practiced this for a good amount of the year. And you know what? In particular, I really got a lot out of the journaling. And I journaled a ton when I was a kid. Like, I have full big journals that I completed. I think by the time I was 18, I had completed 3 or 4 large journals, as well as a couple of smaller ones. And it was always a great way for me to get my feelings out and to write about things. And some of them, I kind of feel like I should probably burn because I'm like, oh, it's just like so much in there. But I guess I should just leave them alone. And so I've left them where they are. And we'll see if I can make sense of them when I'm like 80. I don't know. It will probably be entertaining. Anyway, so what ended up happening was after I read the book, or after I read the first 30%, which I think is about where you find out about the lifesavers, you find out about that early on. And then he gives a lot of tips and just suggestions and kind of backs up why he says that you should get up early and practice these things. So he talked about how after making a lot of observations, he found out that like all successful people or most successful people practice these 6 things. And so I decided that I wanted to go ahead and try out these lifesavers. And I already did a lot of them, but I wanted to try it in his order. And so I did. I woke up earlier and I felt awesome. I loved doing the lifesavers. But honestly, my problem was that The morning time is when I actually am able to work. Like, I know that almost for sure, if I wake up early, I'm going to have that alone time. I won't be needed by anybody. I can do whatever I want during that time. And so I felt really awesome. I would wake up and I would get my lifesavers done, and then I would get none of my goals done for the day. So I felt really good because I was using affirmations and journaling and all this stuff. And yet I found that because it was during my time when I'm able to be productive for my business, I didn't get any goals accomplished. So I want to try it again, and I'm going to do it not in the early morning because I already wake up at a good time for myself, and I'm able to wake up and be very productive right away. Like, when I wake up, I generally just wake up quickly. I'm a kind of a jump out of bed person. Basically, I want to do the lifesavers, but I want to do them later, like maybe in the evening before I go to bed, because sometimes I find that that's kind of my downtime, as in like a downer time. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this day I didn't get very much done, or I didn't get what I wanted done, or, you know, sometimes if you've had a negative experience during the day, it's easy to kind of run away with those things at night when you don't have anything to really keep you busy. And so I think by practicing the lifesavers at night, I will be able to have really positive thoughts in my mind before I go to bed and wake up excited about whatever I'm going to do, and I will have a clear plan about what I'm going to do. So I'm going to kind of rearrange that a little bit. You know, he says you can make them as short as you want. He says you can even get it done in 6 minutes. However, I think probably, you know, a good 20 minutes would be great for me personally. I really think it is so worthwhile to check it out. It's a really, really good book. Again, it is Hal Elrod's The Miracle Morning. He gives some really interesting statistics. I'm going to read a little bit to you just because I found it fascinating. He said, every day you and I wake up, we face the same universal challenge to overcome mediocrity and live to our full potential. It's the greatest challenge in human history to do what's right, give our best, and create the level 10 life we truly want, the one with no limits, the one so few people ever get to live. Unfortunately, most people never even come close. Approximately 95% of our society settles for far less than they want in life, wishing they had more, living with regret, and never understanding that they could be, do, and have all that they want. I don't want to be a part of the 95% that continues struggling. There are so many opportunities now to achieve and to succeed. It's like, it's crazy. There's almost never been a better time to try to be like financially successful. However, there are also so many temptations for things that will take our money away from us and our financial security, and also to get in the way of doing things. I mean, how easy is it to stare at your phone or your tablet all day long and wonder, oh, what happened to my day? Oh yeah, I was on social media, I was playing that game, I was doing this, I was doing that, and I had some food, fast food delivered. So that was expensive, and you have to give a tip, and you paid the driver, and whatever else. I mean, there's so many different ways that our lives and money are just being squandered away. I also loved this quote, and I have to read it to you. He says, your entire life changes the day that you decide you will no longer accept mediocrity for yourself. When you realize that today is the most important day of your life, when you decide that now matters more than any other time because it is who you are becoming each day based on the decisions that you are making and the actions that you are taking that is determining who you are going to be for the rest of your life. I loved this book because it came right at the exact moment that I needed it. And I was feeling very challenged this year by the caregiving and making sure that I had enough time to spread between the needs and support that I needed to give, as well as what my family needed from me, and trying to squeeze in there some time to work on my author business. And it was really challenging. So when I read this book, it was like, okay, I don't want to live a mediocre life. I want, whether I'm successful or not, to know that I tried and that I experienced things. I would say that one of the most important things that I gleaned from The Miracle Morning was that he suggests reading your journal after the year is up. So on December 31st, He reads his whole journal and he writes down on a piece of paper, one side has lessons learned and the other side has new commandments. He says, it's wonderful to go back and reread your journal entries from a year ago and see how much progress you've made. It's one of the most empowering, confidence-inspiring, and enjoyable experiences. It can't really be duplicated any other way. I haven't read my journal yet, but I did journal a considerable amount this year, and I'm really excited to go through that and to read things and kind of have, hopefully, that same experience or a similar and meaningful experience from reading it. I am definitely going to be journaling again next year. It was really great to get back to it. This kind of brings us to the main topic, which is going over my lessons and accomplishments from 2019. I would say that when it really came down to it, I've got two big lessons and two big accomplishments that I wanted to talk about. And the first lesson, and I would say the biggest lesson that I learned this year, is that ultimately, time with family and those I love is more important than anything. And it's precious. It's precious because you never know how much time you have to do those things. I think it's easy to get caught up in so many petty things, and I did find myself doing that. I still find myself doing that. However, this year I really was able to be forced into positions where I had to think about what was actually the most important thing, and was it being petty and just thinking about something over and over again, or was it moving on and getting to the very important things that I wanted to accomplish? What did I actually want to spend my precious moments doing? Also, spending time away from my husband so much this year, it just made me really think about him and how much I appreciate him, and I feel so differently about him, and he's been so supportive and wonderful this year. It's really been important to me to have that support and to know that I wasn't fighting against him and trying to do what I really felt I needed to do. I have been so grateful to see my kids also learn this lesson of family time as they've gotten to spend a lot of time with their great grandma and their my parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and my cousins and just all kinds of people that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to spend time with otherwise. I also found that when we had opportunities to spend time with friends, we really spent time with friends and we made those moments special and lasting, and we made efforts to get those times in. I actually am a little bit concerned. Sometimes we learn lessons and then we also fall into our old ways and take them for granted. And I don't want to do that. And so this is something that I really want to be aware of. And I want to practice being present. I want to make sure that we continue to see family and spend that quality time with those that we love. I would say the second lesson that I learned is that you only get so much time to do what you want to do. And nobody knows how long that's going to be. So don't waste it wondering if you're going to succeed or fail, if you have a dream you want to follow. And don't waste that time being stuck on a screen. Even with this year that I've had in this lesson just staring me down, I have still spent time on my phone and just doing very wasteful, unmeaningful things. And I have made this goal though for next year. As you know, if you've listened to past episodes, I'm only going to get onto my phone for kind of those just, you know, like YouTube video or social media things twice a day. I was really failing at it, but I've been doing a little bit better. This is one I've been trying to practice since, for the last few weeks. I'm hoping I'll be able to continue working on this one and get it down where I just really have it under control. My dream is to be a financially successful author and podcaster and vlogger, and I'm going to go after it until I get there. But wasting my time on meaningless things, I'm not interested. And also, those things are not helping me to become what I want to become. I want to be able to grow this so that I can help others, hopefully, and also just to put out there other ideas of minimalism and to entertain people with my stories. I have dreams and I want to accomplish them. You have dreams. I know there are things that you would like to do. And if you're just sitting there like, oh, I might fail if I try, or I'm scared to be successful if I try, that's one people don't talk about very often, but I have experienced that. Some people don't feel that they are worthy of being successful, but you are. We are all as worthy of success as the next person, and we are all just as capable of failure as the next person, and we aren't going to know if we're going to succeed unless we just keep on trying and trying and trying. There may come a time where you decide this goal is not your thing, or this dream is not your thing anymore, and that's okay, but most people that just keep on trying and trying, like you look at successful singers and people in business and different things like that, it's not like the very first time they tried something, they were successful. Most people are not lightning strike successes. Most people start and they develop and they continue to learn and gain skills and they go through all the loops, the hoops that they're supposed to go through, and then they become a success. And so if we don't try, we're not going to get there. And if we squander our time away on just dumb little things that take up minutes and minutes of our day that add up into hours, you know, we're not going to get where we really want to go. And then at the end of your life, when you're looking back, I think that we will feel regret and wish we would have done things differently if we don't take those calculated risks and try to go for something, getting off of our phones and stop wasting time so that we can get good things done. When I'm feeling a lot of negativity, I tell myself, if I continue, it is inevitable that I will succeed, and it really helps me. Okay, so I wanted to talk about two of my accomplishments. The first one that I was really surprised about was my health and my weight loss success that I experienced this year. Honestly, that one was a real shocker the way that it came around. I'd been, you know, making efforts. I've been making efforts for years to get all of my health stuff under control. And this year it all just kind of came together and it made sense and it just worked. And I still have stuff that I need to do. And next year I want to get to my goal weight and I'm going to do that. However, I've just really been celebrating the successes of this year, and I was not expecting this at all. And so I'm really grateful for that. And it was interesting how, as I came to conclusions about like more temporal success and my worthiness to try and to be successful in those things, it just translated into me knowing that I was worthy of being fit. And I went through a lot of all of the emotional and mental aspects of my health and my weight and what I could do differently. And working with my doctor was great. It was really good. It all worked out. And I was so, so grateful. Becoming plant-based was a huge part of my weight loss adventure. And I love it. And I feel so good. And I'm going to continue with that. And it's just how I eat now, and it's the way I am, and it's what I want to be. So working out awesome. And the second accomplishment that I felt fantastic about and feel fantastic about is my personal confidence. And it all stems from making that goal to be true to myself in 2019. I find it very interesting that I made that goal at the beginning of this year. I didn't know it was coming with all of the different things that I would be doing and the way that our lives would be so drastically changed overnight. And so it was very interesting to me that I made that goal. I had that in my mind all the time. Be true to yourself, be true to yourself. And it served me very well many times, and it helped me to get done what had to be done when I normally would not have been able to do those things. I have to say that, you know, even though this year was challenging, it really could be looked upon as like, oh, this is such a difficult year, and you could just kind of wallow in all the bad things. The hard stuff is what gave me a challenge and allowed me to become a stronger person. And kind of having that be true to yourself motto, I guess, It allowed me to look at this year with a different perspective. And instead of kind of feeling like a victim, I was able to be empowered and to be able to take care of what I needed to take care of. And it ended up being, in a very strange way, a beautiful year. And I'm really grateful for this year. I wouldn't have learned these lessons in any other way, really. So moving forward, I'm really excited for the next year. And because of my experiences, I feel really strengthened to accomplish and meet challenges that I know will come my way. And I know there'll be opportunities for me to grow. And so I'm looking forward to all of that. And this brings us to our minimalist challenge number... Is this number 7? I have to check my notes. Oh my goodness, guys. It's episode number 7. I thought episode number 1 would never launch. So, and we're already 7 episodes in. Congratulations to me. And thank you so much for being here. And, you know, I can see that the podcast is growing and I can see that people are listening. And I know that you all can listen to a whole lot of stuff. There is so much out there to listen to. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am that you are there listening. So, thank you so much. I just have to throw that out there because I'm feeling particularly grateful today about this. And I'm grateful always, but I don't know. I've just felt so grateful to all of you. And the one cool thing that I can see on the stats, it's not just people in the United States that are listening, which is where I'm from. You all are listening from all over the world. And that is so cool to me. I can't tell you how neat that is to see the countries that people are listening in. So shout out around the world. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to this podcast. I think that's amazing. And I really hope you continue to find value in it. So I will tell you for minimalist challenge number 7, getting back to that. I almost added into this podcast episode my failures. And I thought about that and I was going to add them in because I've obviously failed this year. I mean, of course I've failed. There were social moments when I've failed. There are moments when I failed to meet goals, all kinds of things. Of course, lots and lots of tears over lots and lots of failures. However, I was on Instagram recently during one of the times when it's appropriate for me to be on Instagram, either morning or night. I can't remember which one it was. And I saw a list and I saw it like a few times. It must have been one of those Instagram things that was going around. People were tagging each other or whatever. So basically, it's a list of all the things that have happened to you in the last 10 years. And I read a couple of them. And while I really appreciated that people were so vulnerable and put so much out there about what had happened to them in the last 10 years, I did notice kind of a running theme. And the theme that I saw was that people tended to put all of the bad things that had happened to them. And I understand it because we learn a lot when we go through something that could be labeled as, you know, bad. Those are moments that stick in our head. They are moments that really make us think. They are moments that challenge us. And we grow a lot from them often. Or it's an opportunity to grow. Or maybe we're just kind of beat up from those moments, those bad moments. And so it makes sense when you think about what has happened to you over the last 10 years or the last year, it makes sense that you would think about those things and write them out. And it condensed to an Instagram post. So how much can you actually write down in what would fit into an Instagram post? But I happened to see these when I was sort of planning what I was going to do for the podcast. And it made me realize that when I look back on the last 10 years or the last year, as I'm doing right now, I want to think about the positives because I know that for me and my mental health and my productivity, I do better when I have positivity in my mind. And so I would rather not focus on the things that could be labeled as bad. I would rather focus on the things that I learned. When I think back about this past year, I don't want to think like, well, my life was changed and I became a caregiver a lot of this year and put that in a negative tone. I would rather think about all the wonderful things that happened from it. I learned how to become an advocate. I got to spend a lot of time with a loved one. I learned how to stand up and say what needed to be said. I learned to do many things that are skills that I didn't know before. I would rather look at it in that sort of a way. And so when I decided to do the podcast episode, I decided to stick with the successes and the lessons learned and not just sit there and list off all the things that I failed at as well. And so that would be my minimalist challenge to you, is to go and look over your year. If you've got a journal, read what you learned this year. Read over it and see what you can glean from it and see the growth and remember those fond stories. Maybe you just need to go to a quiet place and maybe you don't have a journal or a diary. And so you maybe just need to think about the events of the year and think of how you've changed. And I would hope that you would think of the things that you changed in a positive way. I'm not saying it's not okay to say that, you know, if you feel like it, say this year sucks. Sometimes that's what you have to say. But it's also a good skill to exercise seeing the good in things. And so that would be my challenge. And that's what I'm going to be doing. Cheers to the new year. And I hope you enjoy looking over 2019 with a positive way. And I hope you look forward to 2020 being a great year. And I'm going to close out with, remember, it's all about the experiences, not the stuff. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a weekly episode. If you can please leave a review, that'd be so appreciated, and I thank you for your support. Have a wonderful minimalist week.